Congregation, please be seated. Children, please come forward. Okay, I'm gonna show you this, guys. I'm gonna give you a visual on this one, and a congregation too. Okay, Luke, let's see. I don't want to. professional driver's license.
Well, I know what that is.
It's called.
My teachers.
Okay, I want everybody to write something on this board.
But what?
Whatever you want. You can write your name, or just something, but we gotta be quick, because the congregation's not gonna wait at all. Okay, J, E, S, U, S. Good job, Kathy. Next. We got a lot of Jesus's going on here.
No, not just Jesus.
Not, oh, we gotta take it up and off. Jesus and God. I knew where you're going with that. Yeah. Okay, Ada. Next. Oops, there's the English.
Yeah, you know what? Right.
A little more good.
Okay. Please do what?
Who's gonna write it? That's good.
God.
That's the way it's going up. It's a little unique way. It's gonna be your turn next week, is that okay? And then they can go later, because they're patient. You want your name? That's good. A.
Then why do you have to write way on the corner?
Well, you can write whatever you want, you don't have to write his name. Okay, so he's gonna draw something. A is his name.
Lucas?
Luke. There's a K there. Now let's just draw something. We need to have those instructions up here. Yes. Those are for you when we get done. You get to choose something. Luke's gonna draw something on here. Yay! A swirly. Perfect.
What is swirly?
That's a swirly. Is that a good word for that? What's that? It's a line. It's a swirly line. Yeah, that's good. It's a brand new thing we just did. Isn't that cool? Okay, bye. Can you write it for them? How cool are you? He is awesome. He can read and write upside down. So see how quickly you can do it.
God backwards?
No, God upside down. That's God out of the box.
Ow!
Be careful, don't move me.
I dog.
Yeah, a lot of people have noticed that God is a dog. Okay,
God.
Now we're going to do something. I'm going to show you something. There's a point to this.
God damn dog.
When we ask God to forgive us for something that we've done wrong, you know what happens? It gets erased. Just like that. And it's a clean, dry erase board. And our lives are totally clean and free from sin. So when we do something wrong, all we have to do is ask God to forgive us, and He just erases whatever that was. Isn't that the coolest thing?
Yeah, and it's exciting.
Yeah. All right. Remember that. Okay, now look, I've got this little new thing. This is my frog. We'll talk about frogs later. I've got pencils. I've got glue sticks. I've got little balls.
Oh,
and you each get to choose which one you want. One.
Well,
you only get one this week, you might get another next week. One. Which one do you want? We also got some little erasers in there somewhere, too. It'll be next week, too. So, listen to that. These are the things that connect those and make them erasers. Let me get back on. Okay, then this is the
end.
What do you want?
I want to do with things. I got things.
Yeah,
I
got
a white eraser.
You want the tiniest eraser ever? Your frog, of course.
You want a little eraser? You can do two.
What do you want? Yeah, fine.
Okay, but you can't find the light on the torch, is that fair?
Did you get everybody's caps on? All right, go back to your seats.
You said the glow stick on?
No, but I think it's not on.
All right. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I'm not even going to ask you if you've ever done something that you've tried to cover up like I did the children. That could go way too deep. Scott's up here confessing already. And you would certainly accuse me of meddling. The answer is too obvious anyway. It might not be too big, or it might be huge, but the answer remains the same. Of course you have. Of course you've done things that you hoped no one would discover and that would not have undesirable consequences. We all have, any number of times, some of us on a daily basis. We love to hear the seemingly arrogant and totally self-assured St. Paul confess that he does things that he doesn't want to and doesn't do the things that he wants to. We think that if St. Paul can't succeed in being holy, I have no chance whatsoever. And so I don't even have to try. Because if I can't succeed, why even bother trying? Why waste my precious time? That line of thinking is the slipperiest slope ever. It's a line of thinking that rationalizes and justifies doing nothing at best and behaving badly at worst. And it's easy to fall headlong down that slippery slope. King David went there. He thought he was scot-free. He was king, after all. No one could touch him. He devised a clever plan to try and deflect his guilt and assuage his conscience. But in the end, his guilt was revealed. Nathan the prophet knew that David could never admit to his wrongdoing up front, so he weaved a tale that he knew David would follow, a tale of a man with a favored lamb, a pet, a member of the family. Who wouldn't have their heartstrings tugged by that story? It's almost as heartstring tugging as the ads for the ASCPA and the sad eyes of all those dogs and cats, or St. Jude's Hospital with the wide-eyed faces of children with heads bald from the ravages of chemotherapy. David rightfully was enmeshed in this story. He was right there with Nathan, condemning the man who so arrogantly took that little ewe lamb. We can almost see him sitting on the edge of his seat, cheering Nathan on, wanting to condemn the self-centered absorption of the man who would deprive one of his only little lamb. And we are right there with David, quick to condemn. But at the same time, we're not. We're on the sidelines because we know where this is going. We want to yell out to David, "Don't go there! You're about to enter a trap. The bridge is out, the road has a boulder blocking it, and you are headed straight for it at 80 miles an hour." We want to say those things to David, even though we don't like what he did with Uriah. We want to protect David because we see so much of ourselves. We know that we've been right there, trying to protect ourselves, trying to cover up that which will not be covered. We've all been like Adam in the garden when God was searching for him. "Where are you?" God asked Adam for the first time ever. Because prior to Adam's having eaten the forbidden fruit from the tree, he's always been in plain view. He was accessible to God. But after he ate the fruit, he hid himself, and God had to search for him We know what it's like to try and hide from God. And we know what it's like to try and remove things that make us uncomfortable. Each and every one of us has our own Uriah the Hittite. The person or group of people that we would remove. The person or group of people that we would not have to see face to face. Maybe we don't have the power or authority of King David to actually make their removal a reality, but we have that same intent in our hearts. And according to Jesus, at least in Matthew, having an intent in your heart is the same as acting on it. No wonder we relate so well to David. No wonder we want to prevent him from the train wreck we see him heading in the minute Nathan opens his mouth. There are two things here that we need to wrestle and struggle with. The first is, what are we trying to hide? The second is, who is our Uriah? Who is it that we want out of the way? We probably have different answers individually and as a group. My answers probably differ from some of yours. The point is that we all have those that we wish would just disappear, and we need to take some time and think about that. Because if for no other reason, we have claimed to be followers of Christ and to love our neighbors as ourselves and to respect the dignity of every human being. Those are big and bold promises. And those big and bold promises are the very ones that we have made to God. And now we might be feeling like Nathan, David in front of Nathan again, because we may or may not have kept those promises very well. Who is Uriah to you? Who is the one or are the ones you would send away? Whose presence makes you so uncomfortable that you would just send them away? And what is the excuse you give for that? Did it make you uncomfortable? Is that a Christian reaction in any way? I believe as Christians we are called to be uncomfortable. But as Episcopalians, that's the last thing on earth we want to be. We're the comfortable, and that's good. But from us, much is expected, and that is on occasion to be uncomfortable. To be challenged to put our mouth and our money in the same place. To behave and live as Christians. Not just claim Christianity as a credential. Does God care that we claim to be Christians but live as followers of Christ? That's no easy road. But it's a straight road. And a clear road. And a road that frees. Who are your Uriahs? Who are the people that are keeping you from being free? What is it that you think you're hiding from God? So often we react to people out of a place of fear. So often our urge to remove people has to do with our being afraid. And we need to spend some time thinking and wondering what it is that actually causes our fear. Perhaps our reaction to each other is the reason that the most commonly spoken phrase by Jesus is, "Do not be afraid." Do not be afraid of the schizophrenic in your midst. Do not be afraid of losing everything you have worked so hard for. Do not be afraid of ridicule and slander. Do not be afraid of bad health. Do not be afraid of being uncovered as who you are. Do not be afraid. If we move from a place of fear toward a place of trust in God and love for each other, we come one step closer to the kingdom of God. For what was, for what is and for what is yet to be. Thanks be to God. Amen.